It's August 24th here in the morning, and this is Scott Berguin from KSOW in Cottage Grove, and we have Karen Meredith of Gold Star Families for Peace on the line. She is at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
So, how are things this morning, and what kind of an evening did you have?
Well, yesterday was a very, very hot day. I don't know if it was more hot or more humid, so people were pretty wilted by the end of the day.
Yes.
But we had a real nice candlelight vigil at Camp Casey, too. There's about 200 white crosses right in front, so mm-hmm. It's our little Arlington South.
Mm-hmm.
And so the volunteers had put luminaries amongst the crosses, and we all picked up a long stem rose and a lit candle and walked out and surrounded the perimeter of the crosses. I stood in front of the cross that had Ken's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And our favorite Marine, Jeff Key, stood in the middle with Joan Baez standing next to him, and he played taps. And when he was finished playing taps, Joan Baez sang Amazing Grace.
Mm.
So imagine the big Texas sky with millions of stars and the candles glowing around and the voice of an angel singing Amazing Grace. It was pretty emotional. Taps is one of the hardest songs for Gold Star families to hear.
Yeah. Yes. And I would think that something like Amazing Grace would, well, maybe not difficult to hear, would also be emotional.
Right. Well, that's why I had already gotten emotional with the playing of taps. And then I said to the person next to me, oh, no, not that song. So it was pretty emotional. And then I knelt down. We had 10 minutes of silence, and I knelt down by Ken's cross, and it just kind of, all of the emotions of the week kind of washed over me, so it was kind of a hard few minutes for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine obviously you're not alone in that, I'm sure in the emotions, but also a lot of people, certainly you're often folks who suffer a loss in a family, a family member dies for one reason or the other, would say, you know, that people don't quite understand what they're going through. Well, you're certainly amongst several people who do understand
right,
what you're going through.
Right. So, I was just, there was a lot of people standing around me, and there was a female chaplain from Austin who had spoken to the group earlier, and she was standing right next to me, so I knew I had plenty of support.
And you know, this is it's more than symbolic. I can imagine that wherever the cross or whatever symbol that has your son's name on it is planted, whether it's on, you know, I think he is actually buried in Arlington Cemetery. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Remember that, right? And
yeah.
Or whether it's a cross in the dusty ground of Crawford, Texas. Or wherever, or Arlington West on the beach in California, that's all kind of makes it sacred ground, doesn't it?
It does, and it's always hard to see Ken's name where it doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't belong on a cross, it doesn't belong on a headstone, it doesn't
right.
belong in a headline.
Right.
And so that always catches me off guard, even though I know, but when you walk up and there it is, and it's kind of a stark reminder of why we're doing all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the families who want their names, their family members' names removed from the cross or the boots or whatever it is. To me, it's a very wonderful memorial to remind people, you know, I don't know what the number is this morning. I think it was 1864, so I can say that, but that's a relative number. If you see the list of names, that becomes more real, but when you see, you know, that number of crosses or that number of boots or that number of coffins, then it becomes more of a visual for people, and it's harder for them to walk away from it.
Right. Well, I can tell you the grim number. It's 1,873 as of this morning.
God.
U.S. soldiers and 2,067 coalition. You know, the total for all countries. So yeah, it's been a though they're all tough months and tough days, but you know, one can't help it. I'm sure this crosses your mind. I pay more attention to these numbers than is probably healthy too, because we do read the names and we make prayer flags for them and here, and it's yeah, I mean, more Gold Star families, members for peace, are being created. Gold Star members, anyway, are being created every day, of course. At the rate this month of about 3 a day, which is...
which is one of the highest months.
Yes, correct. It's been a tough month, and with no end in sight, unfortunately, except at the end that we others are trying to create, maybe... force in this situation. So yeah, it's the number keeps going up, and if at this rate, of course, it's going to top 2,000 U.S. soldiers killed by sometime this fall, if not in a...
Right. Well, you know, we're getting close to the number that were killed on 9/11.
Right.
And many of us discuss that and wonder how, you know, Bush's one of his talking points is that, not that we need to avenge 9/11, but we have to honor the 9/11 people. And okay, now that many Americans have been killed, what does that mean to you? Can we stop now?
Right.
Because, you know, we know, I mean, this is amazing. It's over 3 a day, so we don't have real good access to the internet out here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's why I didn't know, but that's
right.
I always check iCasualties.org every morning,
right.
And that's, it is, it's, you said more than you should, but, you know, probably everybody, that should be their homepage, so that they understand it, and so that they're touched by the war every single day, just as I am, and people like you who are so committed to getting the word out.
Well, it is, yeah, it's a constant reminder, and I think it's a reminder that we all need, because as we've talked before, yesterday, our first time talking, that it's easy for, there's a lot of Americans who have, are kind of in a mode where perhaps the war doesn't even exist anymore, and don't want to be reminded of all this stuff. And having said that, I wanted to jump back. You'd said something about that some people had been asked to have their names of their family members removed from the crosses. How do you deal with that?
We remove them.
Mm-hmm.
We honor them. We honor their request.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I really, really don't. Actually, as regards to the Eyes Wide Open, which is to me another good example and very
mm-hmm.
comparable.
Right. Eyes Wide Open being the one with the pair of boots for each fallen soldier. Yes. Right.
Correct. And I know it was in your area last April, I believe.
Right.
And I was in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about it. There was a bunch of families, and this one lady said, oh, we asked for our son's name to be removed from the boots. And I really, I wasn't being smart, you know, I didn't understand it. And I said, okay, I'm not looking for an argument, but can you please tell me why? I think it's honorable, and I've participated. And she said, well, they had a petition, a peace petition, you know. And I thought, well, since when did peace become bad? And that was their reason for wanting their sons
right.
to be taken off. So I still don't understand it.
Well, it's everything is politicized.
Yep.
You know, so yeah. Well, I guess that explains to me then, without having directly asked it. I remember hearing from time to time people say how many crosses there are in Crawford and at the Camp Casey there, and they're never the total number of death that I know of. You know, U.S. soldiers killed. So that's probably part of the explanation for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's. Honorable that you honor their requests, I think. It's and this brings me to a point. You know, you check the... I actually went on the website for Moving America Forward. These
yeah.
folks that are headed your direction. It's hard to tell how many of them. But one of the things that I have noticed, and I've wondered if you've run into this, is that since even before the war began, and I guess this shows the polarization in this country, that... Almost 100%, this is almost 100% accurate. If you Read a letter to the editor. If you hear somebody talking on the radio, run into somebody on the street. If they don't support, or if they're, let's say, if they're against, if they're pro-war, okay?
That's a good term.
They tend to be, their language is, I don't want to talk to you. You are, the other day we got called, we're trash. We're, you know, and even worse words, of course. And that's what most of it is. I don't know, the letters to the editor in our area here anyway, if they come out and they're against the peace activists, they use language that's very, you know, the old love the country or leave it, and you're, blah, blah, blah. When most of the letters and comments and so on from the people who are calling for an end to the war are thought out, kind of under control, not calling names and that sort of thing. And certainly there are people who call George Bush names and you get into those discussions, but in the public you don't see that a lot. It's a total different temper. And
well, our friends from California who will be arriving on Saturday in their bus or buses, as you said, it's kind of hard to tell. So if it's kind of hard to tell, then maybe they're not being forthcoming about what is actually arriving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't have the support that they say they have.
Right.
So if they think they're going to get a confrontation from us, mm-hmm. that's not going to happen.
Right.
And there has been some discussion of our Gold Star families asking to meet with their Gold Star families. You know, I asked someone, I said, well, can we get an olive branch, literally? And I think that would be really symbolic. And to go to them and, of course, not have this covered by the media because mm-hmm. this is so personal.
Right.
And just to say, we share your grief. We've lost our children, too, but mm-hmm. we just don't agree.
Right.
And the country is so divided. So, but apparently there was a little incident in Sacramento I had heard about with them. So if they're looking for a confrontation and they're coming all the way to Crawford, they're just not going to be satisfied. It's not going to happen here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is exactly what I expected to hear, and at the same time, it's very good to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you all continue to do us proud.
Well, thank you. I will make sure we pass that on.
Yes. Well, so what is going on today? Do you have some particular plans, or?
I know there are some group of people that are going to the Veterans Hospital in Waco. Mm. It is being scheduled to close down, and so a lot of the Veterans for Peace are going over there around noonish, and just make it known that that's not a real good decision. I think the administration is very short-sighted in their funding for the Veterans Affairs, and this just is another good example. We found out about a month ago that in preparation for the budget for Veterans Affairs for FY 2005, they based their casualty numbers and their need numbers on 2002 numbers, 1 year before the war started. So they didn't include those, anticipate the casualties. So for them to close down the base or any of these hospitals, what the shortfall on the budget is $2.6 billion. That's how far off they were on their budget for the requirements for Veterans Affairs. It's not getting any better. So for them to close the hospital, in addition to having the shortfall of the budget, which, of course, was rectified by Congress, they voted in additional money for them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I know that's going to happen, and this is under the guise of the local Veterans for Peace. We're just here to support their cause.
Uh-huh.
And then it doesn't look like the press release went out yet, but Cindy will be coming back this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So she'll be arriving in Waco, and she'll be accompanied by a Gold Star wife and the mother of her husband, so a Gold Star mom. And we'll go to the airport and greet her and welcome her back. She's never seen Camp KC2, which is the bigger of the sites, and so she's seen the land, but she hasn't seen the house that Cindy built, which mm-hmm. is a big corporate tent. And I don't know if I told you yesterday that it had been used earlier for an event at the Bush Ranch.
I had heard that, yes.
Yeah, we were burning sage to get some of the bad karma out of it. But it's a very big corporate tent.
I think I see. Is that the one with the mini points?
There's a amphitheater in my town in Mountain View, California, Shoreline Amphitheater, and it's my mini Shoreline.
Right.
That's what we have. Anyway, it's quite impressive, but I think Cindy will be quite overwhelmed because... She, as I said, she hadn't seen it, and this is a little city. Just we've got a kind of a kitchen area, and we have very clean porta potties. We don't have to walk far to do that. I mean, it just was very thoughtful how it's been set up. We have a couple of first aid tents and a peace chapel area, and then right in front are the 200 crosses. So as you drive up, there's no doubt what you're getting into. And right before it, just to see if I can describe to your listeners, you come up this long road, and there's a church right across from it. And so it's, I think, typical of this area, kind of rolling hills. But just immediately, I mean, literally immediately to the right of the compound of Camp Casey is the road going down to the Bush Ranch. So we are right on his backyard, his back fence, and there's those terrorist barriers to get down, and there's big red signs that say, stop, 100% ID check required, and these Secret Service men sit out on that road 24 hours a day.
Oh.
And I can't imagine sitting in a car,
for long periods of time, but in that heat. And
right. They've got their air conditioning running, so it's quite a sight, and I think Cindy will be quite overwhelmed. There's a cross with Casey on it there, and I know she'll be pleased to see that when she gets there. And we're sure she's going to want to stop at Camp Casey 1, which was the original site, too. That's where she started it all. So, well, and it's about 5 miles down the road.
I'm sure it'll be an emotional reunion.
Yeah, I'm sure. It'll
be good to have her back in camp. And what's your sense, Karen? I guess if I'm a real radio person, I have to say your name every once in a while so people know what we're talking about. Karen Meredith of Gold Star Families for Peace in at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas. I want to know what your sense is of, is it, are the numbers still growing? Is it stabilized? And also, do you have a sense that is the media still paying attention? Do you still have the sort of media horde that's been hanging out there?
Well, a lot of the media horde was the White House press corps.
Right, right.
And so they were gone. In fact, they're with the president in Idaho today. And they'll be returning this afternoon. And I was just talking to another radio station, and I said, well, I think it's nice that they're both arriving in the Waco airport, and, they can just talk to Cindy right there at the baggage carousel while they're waiting. But he'll be coming in on his helicopter, I'm sure, but
right.
The image worked for me this morning.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, too.
Yeah, kind of that nod of somebody that you don't really like, but I'll acknowledge your presence.
Right, right.
But President Bush made a statement yesterday that he was not going to meet with Cindy, and that he felt that activities like we're doing weaken the country, and I just think that's a pretty offensive comment. And he is also meeting with families of National Guard members from Idaho who have lost someone in Iraq, and I also find that offensive. He can fly all the way to Idaho and meet with his hand-picked group of families, but he can't walk out to his back fence and meet any of the 30 family members who have come through Crawford, the Gold Star families. And there are a few who have come through have met the president, but the majority of us haven't. So he can fly to Idaho. My assumption is that the group was hand-picked, but he can't. He can't meet us who have flown all this way.
Right.
And, as I've told someone, I'll be happy to go and have a glass of lemonade with George and Laura.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem to find us important enough.
Right. Well, this has been one of the extraordinary things about this presidency, actually, is that, and especially in the last presidential election cycle, this thing of only allowing people that support him to come to his gatherings and even campaign stops where you're supposedly trying to convince people to vote for you, they'd only allow people in who agreed. And the latest one in this to me is, I don't know if you heard about it, but there's a march or rally being organized in Washington, D.C. By the Pentagon. The Pentagon is organizing a rally, which is, to me, what country do I live in? This sounds...
Wait, but it's on 9/11.
It's on 9/11.
It's on September 11th.
Right.
In celebration of 9/11.
Right.
That's
just
embarrassing.
And in the constant effort to link 9/11 and Iraq, of course,
right,
while at the same time saying there is no link, but playing
President
on those emotions.
Bush, right. President Bush is sounding a little bit to me like Baghdad Bob. You know, as we were invading the country and coming into Baghdad, and he swore to us that we were nowhere near Baghdad, and, you know, my image of that is the soldiers were, you know, doing the peace sign in back of his head, mm-hmm. you know, but he was in such denial that, you know, no, they're not anywhere near. And to me, that's what Bush is sounding like now.
Mm-hmm.
No, the war is going well, and it's almost as if he says something enough that some people will believe him, and sadly that's true, but it isn't going well. We just look at the numbers. Condoleezza Rice said a few weeks ago, you can't judge how the war is going by the number of dead American soldiers. And I thought, well, how else can we judge it? You know, so they're just being disingenuous to the American public, and they're, you know, all I want is to hear some truth out of them.
Right. Well, I want to wrap this up by sharing a little humor with you.
Okay.
Are you aware, you know who Greg Palast is?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, Greg is he's an internationally known investigative journalist. He's an American journalist, but writes for papers in Britain because U.S. papers, I guess, don't want to take his stuff. He's the one that truly broke open what happened in Florida in 2000.
Oh, good.
In terms of investigating.
He sounds like my kind of man.
Yeah. Well, he just wrote a piece here yesterday, actually 2 days ago, that is titled Armstrong Bikes with President Over Sheehan Grave, which isn't funny, of course, but it says here, I'm just reading from him, celebrity bike champ Lance Armstrong joined President George W. Bush this weekend at the Crawford Ranch to celebrate the 30th day of the president's vigil against Cindy Sheehan, the mother of a soldier killed in action in Iraq. And then it goes down here to quote Bush, quote, we must stay the course, said a resolute Mr. Bush, who vowed to extend my vacation as long as necessary to accomplish this mission and force Sheehan to give up. So he's taken it from the, you know, obviously the perspective that it's the president who's actually vigiling on vacation and going to stay on vacation.
You've got to bet that he's wishing he was in Tonga or somewhere for this vacation, because mm-hmm. he sure can enjoy it.
Right.
He has, you know, he's really in the shadow of this, and I find that satisfying to think about that.
Yes, and, you know, it's we come back down to it, it's a... incredibly worthy cause, and what you all and all of us are demanding is nothing more complicated than the truth.
Right, right.
And actually, the truth is right there, and maybe it's more acknowledgement of the truth.
Right, but when did the truth become wrong, too?
Right.
So, yeah. It's frustrating, but I think we had about 40 new people come into the camp yesterday, and not quite 40 different states were represented, but mm-hmm. surely we had several from Ohio, and a family with a six-week-old baby from Ithaca, New York, flew in.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, when I had a six-week-old baby, I wasn't thinking about going anywhere except to my bed for a nap. So they brought their two little toddlers mm-hmm. and the baby. And so it's really important to a lot of people, and that's what makes us realize it's okay for us to speak out, because we know we have so much support.
Right.
But I think as people hear that Cindy's coming back, you know, we'll see more and more people coming through. So
okay.
I was just going to say we're going to have a big faith space meeting a lot of religions. A lot of clergy are coming in from all over the country for this weekend. And so there will be a lot of activities over the weekend, too.
Oh, very good. And that actually echoes something that someone had suggested to me, that with this group maybe coming out, showing up on Saturday, the Moving America Forward, that the presence of clergy would be, and sounds like will be, a good thing.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, just so you know, logistically, there's nowhere for them to park their buses.
Right.
Oh, darn.
Oh, darn. But I think that actually the presence of Gold Star families should be enough to dampen the whatever it is they're bringing with them. So, well, let's leave it at that and let you get back into the life at Camp Casey. I'm real happy to hear that folks are going out, going to Waco and supporting the veterans again. This is something that's astonishing to me, that they've been able to get away with this. At the same time they were planning and then invading Iraq, they were cutting veterans' health services, you know, and this has been going on for over 4 years now. So more power to all of you, and I appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time, Karen, with us, and I will talk to you in the morning.
Great. I appreciate you getting the story out, and I will certainly pass on the support from Oregon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.